All right, good morning. Y'all still have some brain power left for the last three sessions today? Okay, so I'm not an early bird. Anybody else not an early bird? Okay, a few people in here. Okay, well, I extra appreciate you guys being here for the 9 o'clock because you could have easily said snooze just a little bit more. Well, I am thankful to be able to share how to share scripture and counseling with wisdom. That's what our session is here now. And then we're going to do ending a session well afterwards. And then we're going to actually all come, the whole panel, and talk about how do we take everything that we've learned over the last couple of days and apply it back to Sarah, her case study. So that would be kind of fun. And we'll ask questions and hopefully interact a little bit more. So for me, I don't have PowerPoint, but I have given you an incredible handout. So if you go to Call to Counsel, have you already pulled it up? CallToCounsel.com, go to handouts, pull up that handout. Some of the stuff I'm going to read, I made sure to keep on the handout so you can follow along. But also, Emily is such a quick worker. She's so awesome, and I'm thankful for her. What she did is the gospel card that Pete referred to yesterday for the gospel and counseling, that little cheat card that you can use, she reached out to their church and we got the JPEG of it. So that is now in that handout section, okay? So you can pull that up, and it has Made to Minister on the back of it, that you can print both sides or just the one side. But that's a nifty little card there. And so I'm thankful for Salem Heights Church that allowed us to say thank you for sharing your resources with all of us. So, okay, so what you have learned so far, we have Theology of Care with Lee Lewis. He helped us to know how to unpack the story and dynamics of the heart, like how to kind of make sure that we're going to the root, right, not just focusing on the fruit and the behavior. Pete shared the gospel. How do we share the gospel in counseling? How do we talk about the character of God, which is so awesome? Those are fundamentals. Know God's attributes so well that you can apply it to any situation that you're in. That's a must. And so now we're going to talk about, here we are in the counseling session, what are some of the things, how can we actually share scripture with them, right? Because we're biblical counselors, and so that's going to be an important part of the process. So if you haven't already realized, with me teaching, it's going to be like trying to drink out of a fire hose. So I'm a fast talker because I like to put in a lot of information in a little bit of time. You're either going to love or hate that. But that's why I try to give you a handout with a lot of my notes so you can go back and refer back to it. But all the conference sessions are being audio recorded. So it's also something you can always go back and listen to, okay? So that's a little bit of a win for us. So they're all being recorded, and they'll be uploaded on our ChristianCounseling.com website. So it takes about, after Gretchen like sends it to the team, it takes about 3 or 4 weeks to do it. So it's not going to be right away. But yeah, so that's always something you can do too. So let me open us up in prayer and get our morning started. Sound good? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we're just so thankful for this conference and Doxology Church and us being able to all gather together, Lord, just to learn more about you, learn more about Christ. Lord, how can we be more dependent on the Holy Spirit as we care for others? But Lord, first, we also need this for our own heart. So would you just continue to stir our affections towards you? Lord, help us to delight in your living word. Lord, first applying it to our own heart and let that be the overflow as we care for others. Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the mighty work that you're already doing in our lives, in our families, and in our ministries, in our churches. There's things that we don't even see, Lord, that you are working on our behalf. And so we just want to thank you and praise you for that because we trust and know that you are true to your word, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, that your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, you are good. So thank you for what you're already doing. And we just ask that you be with us now as we open up your word and read scripture and think through how to, Lord, better care for people with wisdom. And so, Lord, I just pray that you protect my words, that I won't say anything contrary to your truth, and that you will stir in each of their hearts, specifically, Lord, what you want them to glean from this lesson. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so as far as biblical counseling is concerned, we need to learn more about the Bible ourselves as counselors, right? And so in reality, a lot of what you'll be sharing in a counseling session will come from your own daily devotions. So again, that's just why prioritize your own time with the Lord, just being with the Lord, and allow that to overflow in every conversation. One thing I also like to remind people is, yes, there are a lot of us who do formalized counseling, but in reality, when we share scripture with wisdom, this should be in every area of our life, right? With our spouses, with our children, with our family, with our community group, over coffee, right? So how are we just even being intentional on our friendships and being able to encourage? So have kind of that mindset. Don't just focus just on the formalized counseling as we talk through this together, but how are we doing this in all of our relationships in our life? So let me just start off by kind of anchoring our heart and reading from the Biblical Counseling Coalition. They have come up with a confessional statement for us as biblical counselors, and so I just wanted to read that for us, and that's in that handout. It says, biblical counseling endeavors to build a relationship with another person in which God's work of change can thrive. It is therefore dependent on the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus Christ. It seeks to build a contextualized understanding of the counselee, past and present, or your friend, right, your church member, your goer, any conversation, and will view that data through the lens of Scripture. The biblical counselor rests in the knowledge that he is not the change agent, but a tool in the hands of the one who is. In his work with the counselee, the biblical counselor always recognizes the sovereignty of God, the transformative grace of Christ, and the insight-giving and conviction-producing ministry of the Holy Spirit. In all of this, the biblical counselor sees himself not as an isolated instrument of change, but one whose work is intimately connected to God's primary tool of change, the church, with all of its God-ordained duties, structures, and means of grace. As biblical counselors, the wisdom and hope that we provide comes from the Word of God. It's not opinion, right? We want it to be grounded in the truth. We will not only grow ourselves, but we must rightly handle Scripture as we care for others. When handling God's Word, we want to exercise humility, an unyielding discernment, so we can give intentional thought, have close observations, and careful discussion to the text. Depending on the Bible for counsel is a high call that warrants a reverent fear of the one whose words are translated to others. So we don't carelessly share Scripture. We understand the power of the living Word, and we want to handle it, rightly handle it, with care. Our counsel should be anchored in Scripture. So let's go back to the confessional statement. Here's what they say and why we want it to be anchored in Scripture. Because we believe that God's Word is authoritative, is sufficient, and relevant. Do you believe that? The inspired and inerrant Scriptures, rightly interpreted and carefully applied, offer us and our counselees God's comprehensive wisdom. We learn to understand who God is and who we are, the problems we face, how people change, and God's provision for that change in the gospel. No other source of knowledge, no other source, that's another absolute, no other source of knowledge thoroughly equips us to counsel in ways that transform the human heart. Our systems of counseling aim for other goals and assume a different dynamic of change. The wisdom given by God in His Word is distinctive and robust. He comprehensively addresses the sin and suffering of all people in all situations. Wise counseling is an insightful application of God's all-embracing truth to our complex lives. It does not merely collect proof texts from the Bible. Wise counseling requires ongoing, practical, theological labor in order to understand Scripture, people, and situations. We must continually develop our personal character, case-wise understanding of people, and pastoral skills. Scripture alone teaches a perspective and a way of looking at life by which we can think biblically about and critically evaluate information and actions from any source. Like, I couldn't reword that any better than what the Biblical Counseling Coalition has offered us. And you can go on their website and see the entire thing. I just pulled elements of it to make sure that we understand that what we're about to talk about, and as we think through how to counsel wisely, that we understand the importance of and why we're here to learn this. It's because God's Word is our authority in our life. That we don't have to figure it out because God has already revealed His truth to us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to learn and grow, and we also can help our counselees depend more on the Spirit and less on us, right? That should provide us comfort. I know when I started out as a biblical counselor, I was like, man, there's so much. This is intimidating. There's so much in here. Where do I even start? Well, the good news is God's already at work. He started way before I even entered into that room. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about cautions in sharing Scripture and counseling. I'm going to talk about ways that we share Scripture and counseling. And then I'm actually going to give you some practical examples that you can just totally implement and start using. So this might feel like, in this particular portion on the cautions, that I'm beating you up just a little bit. But here's the good news, is what you guys are getting to do is learn from all my mistakes. Isn't that nice? So there was purpose in me falling short, so now I can share with you, hey, don't do this. So there's going to be 6 cautions for improper use of Scripture in biblical counseling. So as we talk about the cautions, that will hopefully help you to be able to rightly handle God's Word. The first one is, we don't want to offer misplaced hope. Misplaced hope. We don't want to give hope to an unbeliever that is meant for a believer. And I touched on this just a little bit. But in biblical counseling, when you meet with the person, you've got to determine, am I counseling a believer or an unbeliever? Because that helps you to know it. When I share the Scriptures, am I evangelizing or discipling? Never assume. So for me, I just begin with evangelize. One of the mistakes I did this is I was sharing the Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, and I said, offering hope. Our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. Man, that's a good dose of hope right there. But that's eternal hope for a believer. So to provide hope to an unbeliever, maybe I should have used Matthew 11:28, right? Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. There's still hope for her, but we've got to properly use the passage. Caution number 2 is proof texting. Proof texting is defined as the practice of using a Bible verse or a passage out of context to support a belief, doctrine, or argument. One way we do this is in an effort to provide a quick, you can do it, to the counselee. We want to make them feel better. So we use a passage out of context. Well, it might be out of the author's intent, right? So how did the author, what's the context of this passage? What's going on with this author? What does this actually mean? So giving more background. An example of this is Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's on every Hobby Lobby sign, you know? And I'm thankful that a retail store wants to sell God's Word like that. But what we don't want is just to be feel-good messages. What's actually happening with Paul when he writes this? Is he having a glorified life? No. No, he's suffering in prison. Right? We see in 2 Corinthians 11, he was beaten. He was in danger. He was shipwrecked. He was starving. So as we read this text, we interpret the pain through the lens of God's character and His ultimate mercy. At times, God must deplete us physically and emotionally of all strength so that we would be compelled to find our strength in Him. So perhaps Paul would have never learned to acknowledge that God's grace is sufficient for him unless he had first learned through the means of the thorns and the flesh that his own strength was indeed insufficient. I just got chill bumps on that. Think about what I just said there. Knowing who Paul is and what he went through, that when we go back and say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened him, we realize that we might not be doing so well right now. We might be in a level of suffering that we can't comprehend, but God's grace is sufficient. So we want to provide context first and then application. Our counsel must be based on a careful and accurate understanding of Scripture. So I encourage you, my sister and brother in Christ, study God's Word. Another example quickly is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That's not drinking coffee on the lake with a wonderful and peaceful view. That's not what that's saying. This verse is a command that is coming after a quaking earth and a raging sea and warring nations. That's what's happening. This verse is a call to surrender all claims of control and to fall down and worship before a God who is a sturdy refuge to his people. That verse, be still and know I'm God, is a call for stillness, a call for submission to the Rock of Ages. So they might be surrounded by chaos. They might be in the midst of the suffering, but we can say, be still and know that I am God. And then caution number three is mishandled methods. Mishandled methods. And I have six subpoints here, and I tried to do a little Baptist, everything's ending in an L-Y type thing to make it easy. But the first one is situationally focused. Situationally focused. This is where we might be in the counseling session and we might end up not using Scripture at all. I've caught myself in this. Their story, there's a lot to their story that they want to share, details that they want us to know. And then all of a sudden the 60 minutes, the hour is gone, and I'm like, we haven't even opened up God's Word together. It's very easy to do. So as the counselor, we must be the one to kind of help manage our time in a way that we don't have a mishandled method of not opening God's Word with them and making sure that they leave with knowing a little bit more about God. So at times we might need to redirect the conversation. Sometimes they forget their Bible and don't bring it, so have one in your counseling room with you. Ask them to turn their cell phone on so they're not distracted. Even on the story, say, hey, I want to hear more about this, but we're running out of time, and I really want to make sure that we go to the Lord together. So don't get so focused on the situation that you miss out on that opportunity. The second one is prematurely. We don't want to go to Scripture too soon. Okay? An important part of this is listening well and examining the struggle, their heart, before we encourage them in Scripture. So I don't just jump right in. I want to listen. I want to ask questions. So we do want to hear what's going on, but we just want to make sure that we listen well and examine so when we take them to God's Word, we can help rightly apply. Paul Tripp says, you want to understand the counselee as a person and the details of their situation well enough to make a concrete application of Scripture. So good. The third one is arbitrarily. Arbitrarily. We don't want to just do random selection of Scriptures. When you start out at counseling, one of your fears is, will I be able to think of Scriptures on the spot? So my suggestion to you is good preparation will help with this. So keep certain Scriptures, so know certain Scriptures well, so well, that you are able to apply it in a lot of situations. And I've actually, in the examples, I've given you a lot of my go-to passages. And I actually learned this from a lot of the OGs in counseling, our original gangsters who've been doing this for like 30 or 40 years before me. You know, when I would give them a case and say, hey, how would you do this? I would realize after several conversations, they're kind of sharing the same passage, but giving me new ways on how to apply it. And I'm like, that's a great way to start. Have a good five handful of Scriptures that you know so well, that you're so confident and understand the context and everything about it that you'll be able to encourage them right away. And for me, one of my always go-tos is the attributes of God. I always love to share that. How do I know God so well that is something that I want to encourage them in all the time and like constantly? How am I helping and stirring their affections to the Lord Almighty? That's one of my goals. And so that book out there will help you be able to do that. All right, another one is obnoxiously. This is the use of too many Scriptures. All right, I know I probably have some of you in here. Well, it's like we want to popcorn a bunch of them. I've got to make sure that they know the theology of this and what's going on. But you have limited time. So I just wanted to give you permission. Hey, there's fruit in reading just a few scriptures and just talking about it, meditating on it, reflecting on it together, taking that as you pray that scripture together. You ask them to pray it in the week. So don't feel like you have to do a lot of scriptures or even full length of passages. Sometimes it's about sitting in a little. So allow the Spirit to lead you in that way. Actually, sometimes after my session, I'll ask them, hey, what's the key takeaway of our time together today? I'll ask them that at the end. And there's been a lot of times the point I thought I made that I was encouraging them was not the one they left with. And I was like, praise the Lord. I love that the Lord revealed that to you. Can we just pray that together right now? So now I also, as a counselee, have a better understanding of what God revealed to them by asking that. And not just thinking what I was sharing is what they were leaving with. But if you do have, say you prepared and you did have additional scriptures though you wanted to share, you can give those as growth assignments. Hey, here's a few other passages we didn't get to today, but I'd love for you to take that home and read that. Okay. Another one is prescriptively. This is when we use scriptures as, hey, take two of these and call me in the morning. We aren't trying to diagnose or fix a problem here. We don't want to give scriptures as medicine. It's not to make them feel better, but to focus on how the passage is pointing to God's promises and faithfulness, His care, and His love for them. Okay? I've actually, like, one time I had a counselee who was really focused on medication. She was going back and forth on, like, what to do and wanted me to help her with this. And what I do is I always try to say, we're not communicating that, whether that's good or not, but I do want to help you seek the Lord for wisdom. I want to teach you about discernment. I want to help you gain spiritual strength so you can feel confident whatever that decision was. But I ended up taking an empty medicine bottle and putting, like, scripture verses in there and doing it and giving it to her as a gift, and she just loved that. So it was just like a creatively way to connect with her, but in a way of realizing, like, girl, you already have a daily dose here. Let's just start this together and let's build from that. So just giving them the confidence of realizing that God, again, is already at work. And then lastly here, flippantly, we don't want to share scripture without thought. We don't want to do this carelessly, right? And you guys are in here, so I already know that's your heart. You're not wanting to do that either because you're wanting to learn this. So this kind of plays into all the ones already mentioned, but this is at times, it's more about our heart, honestly, when we do it. This is when we didn't prepare well, right? This is when maybe we're not even, have you ever had a counseling case or situation where you're like, man, this is hard. Like, are these passages that I'm sharing really true and life-changing to them? Or are they actually hearing what God has for them? Like, you're having a little bit of doubt. And we don't want that. I've seen new counselors also, like, send their counselees to topical index in the back of the book. Like, oh, go in the back of your book and look up anger, and there's going to be a lot of scriptures there for you to go to God's word for that. Like, I don't love that. I feel like that's carelessly. I'm sorry if you've done that, but my encouragement to you would be, I want to give them scriptures that God talks about anger, but I also want to give them reflection questions so it stirs their heart towards the Lord, to help them in their anger. So be prepared. Guide them with intentional passages that help them specifically grow in Christ-likeness. All right, caution number four is the single lens motivation. Was anybody in the pre-conference yesterday where I kind of talked about, did anybody go to the pre-conference? Okay, so those who didn't raise your hand, you're losers. No, okay. Y'all better join us next year. No, I'm just kidding. So we kind of went over counseling through God's attributes, and I shared on God's faithfulness. And one of the ways that I did this is I shared the three lenses, that we are sufferers, we are sinners, we are sufferers, and we are saints. And so technically what I was doing there was sharing a biblical counseling method. And so this is something for you to glean from, is realizing, like, we want to try to see them from that triple lens perspective so we can see the full picture of what God's doing in their life. This also helps us to not use scripture as a weapon. We're not sin hunters. I think Lee Lewis, I heard him mention that in his talk yesterday. If our counselee is a believer, when we view them as a saint, a sufferer, and a sinner, here's what Paul Tauchus says in his book, Remade. This gives us a clearer and more comprehensive picture of who they are and what God is up to as he works out his purpose for them in Christ. We want to help align their view with God's and as a result, become more secure in their standing before God, be strengthened in their battle against indwelling sin, and be steadfast in their suffering. If we look through one lens, the only sinner, they might feel defeated and struggle against temptation and lose reality that they are in Christ and can persevere in the Spirit. If we only look at the saint lens, they might begin to think that they're stronger than they really are and forget the warnings to keep watch. And if we only look at the sufferer lens, they might fall prey to the crippling power of victimhood and miss out on actively worshiping a good and sovereign God who is at work on their behalf. So how can we see them from a triple lens perspective? All right, caution number 5 is monologue versus dialogue. You want to have a back and forth conversation. I remember I learned from someone else. I was getting counseling myself about 10 or 15 years ago and was paying for it. I walked out of there, and when I was swiping my card, I was like, I know more about her than she knows about me. She spent a whole session talking about herself and sharing her story. So we laughed at that video the other day, and that was literally a reality of mine. And I just remember how hurt and empty I felt walking away from that. But that taught me. God used that to teach me to not do that to someone else. But oftentimes, sometimes with my friends now, I can be like, man, like I do know more about them, and they didn't ask me about me, and I long for that, right? But I'll tell my sister in Christ, hey, I have a few things I want to share with you, so I'll be open with her. Hey, I didn't get a chance to share some of the things that God's doing in my life or that I'm struggling with, so can we do that next time we meet for coffee? But for the counseling session, we really want a back-and-forth conversation, but we don't want to talk too much about ourselves, and we don't want to just teach. Okay, so if there is something that's very relevant in what's being shared that you have a personal testimony about, my encouragement to you is there's pieces. We don't have to share the whole story of the testimony to make the point. And the goal of sharing that part of our testimony is to stir their heart towards the Lord, right? If I'm sharing this part of my story, it's about how God worked in it, what he taught me in it, and then how that can be an encouragement to them. The other thing is when we read scripture, I ask them to read the passage and I ask them, hey, what did you just glean from it? And I interact with them in a way that's inviting them into the conversation. The goal is I want to present the word in a way that seems less intimidating and excites them to want more. And if I'm just sitting there talking the whole time, it's not inviting them into the conversation, helping them learn. And then caution number 6 is opinions versus directives. Don't emphasize opinions as a higher value than Scripture. There should be a clear contrast, okay, a scale between God's directives and man's suggestions. Like, I clearly say things like, okay, this is only my thought or opinion for you to consider, but please pray about it. And there's times that I'm actually sharing scripture, so I'm actually sharing the word of God casually in a conversation when we haven't looked it up, and that's okay. But if I start going into the lane of, okay, this is just my thought or opinion that I want you to consider, I'll say that out loud. Hey, this is just my thought, but would you reflect on that? Would you go to the Lord and see what he says about that? But just making sure that there's definitely a good, clear contrast between that. Here we also want to be authentic. So if there's a gray area, I just want to release you from any nervous pressure that you might have to have all the answers. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. So it's okay to not know everything, okay? But I know how hard that was for me to like literally be sitting there, and in my mind I start praying saying, Lord, I have no clue, but you do. And I'm trying to listen, but really I'm praying and I'm talking to the Lord internally, struggling. Lord, give me a word for them. And at times I didn't have anything. I just told them, I said, hey, some of the stuff that you shared with me right now, I don't really know, but I really want to go to the Lord on your behalf. So I'm going to spend the rest of the day, or I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm just going to go to the Lord in his word, and I'm going to pray about this with you. So their growth assignment was to pray, and then I was going to reconnect with them later. So it's okay to have a humble response and acknowledge that you might need further research and prayer. Okay? All right. So why? Why do we want to share scriptures with others? And so I wanted just to read a few passages with you just to refresh us on the importance and riches of Scripture. All right? So you have all of your what not to do and proper use. Okay? So hopefully that's helpful and you've learned from my mistake. But now we want to like go back to God's Word and say, okay, like why is Scripture so vital and important? To remember that we're not just going to something that's not living and active. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's our where. That's where we want to go. It's breathed out by God, where it came from. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's our how. That the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work, our why. God's Word tells us exactly where it came from, how it's going to work on your behalf, and what it's for. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13, talks about our material and immaterial here. It says, for the Word of God is living and active. That's something that should encourage us every single day, that the Word of God is acting on our behalf. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is piercing to the division of soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight. No one is alone. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's no hiding from the Lord. He is faithfully present. And one of my favorite passages to go to when I'm sharing the sufficiency of Scripture is Psalms 19. Psalms 19 reveals to us God's general revelation. This is special revelation that's available to us as believers. And then at the end, the applied revelation. How is the revelation, how's the Word of God being applied to our life? It gives us 9 qualities for the sufficiency of Scripture. Listen to what it says, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. 9 qualities for the sufficiency of Scripture. It is perfect. It is sure. It is right. It is pure. It is clean. It is forever. It is true. It is righteous. That's what we have. That's what we get to counsel and encourage people with. Do you get fired up about that daily before you even enter into the counseling room, before you're talking to your sister in Christ, before you show up at church to encourage someone in your community group? And then right before verse 7, we're talking about God's general revelation where it gives that sixfold description. I have this quote written in my Bible, and I don't know where I got it from, so I'm sorry that I can't reference who said it, but I still got to share it, because listen to what whoever said this. The glory of God displayed in the heavens points us to the grace of God displayed in the Bible. Let me say that for you again. The glory of God displayed in the heavens points us to the grace of God displayed in the Bible. Read Psalms 19. Reflect on it, meditate it, and share it with those that you counsel. That's why we are biblical counselors, right? And then Psalms 119, I don't think I have time to read that for you guys, but Psalms 119 is, I mean, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. But I only had 40 verses here. But my encouragement to you is, if you want to leave here and say, out of everything you've learned, and I hope I can alley-oop all the other speakers here, but Psalms 119, just read that tonight. Start on that tomorrow. Pray it over your life. I'll commit that with you. I'll do that too. Read Psalms 119. Commit that. Pray that every morning. Pray that over your counselees. Read that together in the counseling room. We're talking about, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. That's what it's saying. These scriptures tell you what to say. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight as much as all riches. Like, this is one of the things that I'm like praying, saying, Lord, I want this. I want to breathe this passage and feel this to my very being. Verse 1, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. That's verse 28. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the ways of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. That's just a few scriptures, even that one scripture. Like, do you feel the depth of what they are writing here and what we should be living out? Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in you. And you know what this is reminding us of? This isn't about my effort. He's asking the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to do this on their behalf. So when you have a counselee who's exhausted and who's weary, who doesn't really even know a lot about God's Word, start in Psalms 119. Encourage them in God's Word in that way. All right, ways that we share Scripture in counseling. Ways we share Scripture in counseling. The goal of biblical counseling is spiritual, relational, and personal maturity as evidence in desires, thoughts, motives, actions, and emotions that increasingly reflect Jesus. Biblical counselors should believe that such personal change must be centered on the person of Christ and are convinced that personal ministry centered on Christ and anchored in Scripture offers the only lasting hope and loving help to a fallen and broken world. So when you're sitting before them, do you believe this to be true, that a ministry on the center of Christ and anchored in Scripture is what is going to offer them the only lasting hope and loving help to the fallen and broken world? That's where we want to be. That's our posture as we go before them. All right, so three ways that there's several different ways, but three ways I'm just going to encourage you in that we want to share Scripture is, one, during the session, right? During the counseling session, we want to properly examine, ask good questions, listen well, understand their story and situation, all the stuff that we've kind of been talking about already in the previous lessons before we encourage them in Scripture. We want to listen to understand, not to respond. Listen to understand, not to respond. And this will help you to rightly apply the text. So examine and then encourage. Another quote by Paul Tripp says that you want to understand the counselee as a person. Oh, we already read that one. As a person and the details of their situation well enough to make a concrete application of Scripture. I guess God wanted you to hear that twice today. All right, another way we do that during session is we want to offer them hope, right? That's that confident expectation based on promises of God. When you look through all the narratives in Scripture, all God's covenants, realizing that God is faithful, He's true to His Word, He never lies, He fulfills every promise, this is that hope that we're bringing them. Romans 15:13 is a Scripture that you can go back to. It says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. We want to point them to the heart-changing truth of Scripture. Why do we want to do that? Because it's not your love that will sustain them. It's not your power that's going to save them. And it's not your wisdom that's going to change their mind. It's Christ. But we as biblical counselors get to help them encounter the living God through His living. Like, I'm unworthy. Oh, but God, you have called me to this, and you will provide everything that is needed, and I already know that you are working on their behalf. I don't have to know everything because I know the one who does. And with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they are the one who intercedes. The Holy Spirit is the one who's interceding to provide the transformation. That's not you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, John, I told you I was going to put you on the spot. Will you share with them what you said? Because I feel like it was maybe more, just adds a little extra flavor to what I said. Isn't that good? All right, so let me repeat it for the audio people. But go slow for me because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to transform the children of God to be more like the Son of God. Isn't that great? Thank you, John. I mean, amen. We want to help them become devoted to spiritual disciplines. Our goal is to help them grow in godliness. That's all of our purpose. How are we glorifying the Lord? How are we helping our friends, our brothers and sisters grow and become more like Christ? How can I help them be more devoted to God? How can I help them to be more of a light of Jesus' character? Am I praying more about their situation or their heart? Pray Colossians 3 over them. Don't focus too much on the situation and not about helping them grow in Christ-likeness. Another thing here is during session, we want to help them to recognize, repent, and respond. Recognize, repent, and respond. Recognize what falsehood they're believing, which hopefully is a result to bring them to repentance in their faulty thinking, and then to respond is to replace it with truth. Why are we going for repentance? Because that's their turn from despair and trust in God and their suffering. Turn from the despair and trust in God for their suffering. How can I encourage this person? Like, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm praying. Lord, how can I encourage her right now to recall your faithfulness, to fix their eyes on Jesus? How can I help them to persevere and endure, to have more faith and trust in you? How can I stir their heart in gratitude, help them to practice self-control, to be motivated in love, to speak truth to themselves? I don't want them to get dependent on me. I want to help them to carry forward so when they find themselves outside of the counseling room and faced with their crisis, struggle, and hardship, and their trials and tribulations, what Scripture tells us we're going to go through, they're not thinking, can I call Shauna? They're going to God. Just like Jeremiah did, how can I help them call to mind to not look at the horizontal, but to go vertical every single day? And for me, it's moments all throughout the day. Those are the goals of the biblical counselor. I'm not there to help them fix their situation or their problem. I want to help them to fix their eyes on Jesus. The second way that we share Scripture in counseling, we do that during the session, but we also, and I want to make sure that prayer is not this little wrap thing that we do real quick at the end to send them on their way, but we get to share Scripture through prayer. Before and after the session, we're going to personally pray for them, right? Are you praying for your person before you even get in the room with them? Are you praying for them afterwards? My job as a biblical counselor is not just 60 minutes with them each week. And then during the session, I want to model for them how to pray. I want to teach them the importance of prayer. John Piper says, prayer is the breathing of Christian life. He also goes on to say, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. If they come back with their prayer journal and it's empty, well, sister, we're going to have a conversation. You know why? Because I know how important prayer is. This isn't a growth assignment you're going to get graded on. Prayer is the breath of Christian life. In our battle against the devil and our own sinful flesh, God's word is indeed our sword. But Ephesians 6:17 was, it says, but prayer is the shield by which we extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So to live a prayerless life is to live defenselessly amid the battle. The vigor of our spiritual lives is the fruit of our prayer life. Therefore, understanding how to pray biblically is of utmost importance. Would you agree? So pray during session. There's times you might want to stop right there in the situation. I'm not going to say the prayer to the end and be like, hey, let's go to the Word, right? Let's go to God right now together. Don't neglect praying. And I say this knowing I do at times. I'm not perfect. I need to be constantly reminded of this too. But I just wanted to make sure that I you guys left with realizing that when we share Scripture in counseling, it's not just us having the Bible open and going back and forth. It is also through our time in prayer. When I pray, I'm praying Scripture. So, how to specifically pray Scripture? The Bible is packed with truth that is relevant in all of our lives. So take the Word of God and pray specific Scripture. It's the easiest and the best way is to pray God's Word back to Him. We already have what we need to pray. So help your counselee learn how to do that. Here's some examples. Pray God's commands. Pray His commands. Examples. Lord, guard me from temptation. Free me from pride and idolatry and addictions. Help me to walk in a manner worthy of You. Help me put my hope in You alone. Give me faith that perseveres. Strengthen me to endure the battle. That wasn't me. That wasn't my note. That was literally Scripture. That's the Word of God right there. Pray God's promises. Your steadfast love endures forever. Your Word is true and equips me for every work. In You I have joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. I trust in You to lead and protect me. That's God's Word. Pray for holiness. Walk by the Spirit to not gratify the flesh. Lord, I need humility. Help me to be motivated by love. Help me be an imitator of Christ. Lord, give me compassion and kindness and patience and wisdom and gratefulness and forgiveness. Lord, help me to glorify God in all that I do. Help me to be devoted to godliness. I sound like an amazing prayer, don't I? Because I just prayed God's Word. That gives me chill bumps. That gets me excited. We want to pray for healing. But we also want to pray for holiness. Help your counselee look upward. Okay, here's another fun thing. Pray for others like Jesus did. How did Jesus model prayer? He prayed for their faith. He prayed against temptation in their lives. He prayed for their unity. He prayed for their sanctification. Pray like Jesus. Help them to pray like Jesus. Oh, and my friend Paul. Pray for others like Paul. Boy, did he know how to open a letter. Paul prayed for the salvation of the lost. He prayed that believers would be strengthened by the Spirit. He prayed that they'd be rooted and grounded in love, that they would be able to comprehend God's love, that they would be filled with the fullness of God, that the Romans might abound in hope and know the presence of God's peace, that the Ephesians would have the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. He wants Christ to dwell in their hearts through faith. Paul yearns for the Philippians to abound in discerning love. He prayed for the Colossians to give thanks like heaven-bound saints, and that that Thessalonians might be holy through and through. Have you prayed like Paul lately for your church, for your leaders? He gives you the words to do it too. How cool is that? All that was just from Scripture. I wish I was that wise. But Paul helps to model for me how to pray, and we get to do that for our friends and counselees. And I've given you just a short little prayer in your handout, just a little example. Lord, I pray that so-and-so, I pray that Emily, love will abound more and more for You, that she will grow with knowledge and discernment so that she may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. For the glory and praise alone of You, amen. That's like three sentences that I can pray for my sister in Christ, that I can pray for Lee and Pete and my brothers in Christ, that I can pray for my husband, Michael, that I can pray for my pastor. Start somewhere. Write it down for them and send it home with them. Say, would you just commit praying for this every day or throughout the day for me? For you, for your own heart, for others? Maybe they're so internally focused that I get to help them to start loving and praying for other people. And Donald Whitney, we don't have this in the bookstore, but if you want to get this, Donald Whitney has a Bible that says praying, I think it's called praying, let me see, I didn't note it here. It's called Praying the Bible, I think. Is it Praying the Bible? Okay, so Pete's saying yes. So Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. It's a book for you to read, or you can give to your counselees to help learn how to pray God's Word. Here's a quote that he says that I just love. I'm getting excited. My nose is running. It says, the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to help the people of God pray increasingly according to the will of God. You're going to use me? God, you are going to use the Spirit of God. Will use the Word of God to help the people of God pray increasingly according to the will of God. How do I know God's will? How can I pray God's will? I'll just give you the answer. Pray God's Word. All right, and then thirdly, and I've got to really hurry, oh gosh, is growth assignments. So we do it in session, we do three in prayer, and then another way we do it is in growth assignments. Okay? So we want to share Scripture and counseling by assigning growth assignments because we want to emphasize the importance of their time between sessions, right? We want to wisely share Scripture as we give them things, because the whole goal is we don't want them to be dependent. We can only do so much in 60 minutes, right? The whole goal is for them to spend time. How am I stirring their affections towards the Lord outside of my time with them? So my growth assignment should facilitate biblical sanctification. Okay, that's one goal for growth assignment. It should help establish dependency on God's Word rather than the counselor. How can I help them be more dependent on God's Word? It should emphasize spiritual disciplines, right? How am I helping them read Scripture daily, praying, attending church, seeking community? It should help them establish a pattern of action and habit. How is this going to help them be fruitful and effective in living a godly life and growing in dependency on the Lord? Sometimes I ask them to, once I give the growth assignment, I ask them to repeat it back, like, hey, how does this fit with you? Do you feel like this will be helpful? Like, get their buy-in on growth assignments, okay? Because the goal is they're not doing it for me, they're doing it for themselves, which is why I call it growth assignments instead of homework. Is because I don't want them to leave and be like, oh, I need to do this homework before my next session for Shauna so I can review it. It's not about me. Like, this assignment is to help you grow and stir your affections to the Lord. So do you think this will be helpful for you? Is this a good starting place for you? And if they say no, okay, what would be a better suggestion? What do you think that you think would be helpful? And I let them have buy-in. How is it addressing their heart? How is it helping them interpret the difficulties of life through a biblical lens? We want to help them to focus on God, right? His character, His promises, His purposes. We want to help them to focus on Christ, His life, His ministry, His character, the Holy Spirit, His role, His guidance, His help. In Scripture, how is it helping them to pray and think and live biblically? We want the truth of Scripture to reveal practical application which helps to strengthen their commitment and reliance on the Word. But here's one that we sometimes miss. How is our growth assignment stirring their heart towards worship? When I first started, that was not a part of my growth assignment. But when you see Scripture is full of songs and praise and worship for the Lord, I want to help them stir their hearts to gratitude. Psalm 33, reveals our call to worship, our calls for worship, and our confidence from worship. Great worship grows out of great doctrine. So share scripture with them. Give them hymnals that you think would encourage and stir their heart to the Lord. Help them to sing and to praise and rejoice in Him. Psalms 120 to 134, that's the Psalms of Ascent. This is what the pilgrims sung on their way to Jerusalem for the annual feast. Those are psalms. So Psalms 33 to stir their heart towards worship. The Psalms of Ascent to help them do that. Colossians 3:16, encouraging them to worship. All those are passages you should go back to. And then lastly here, meditation. Meditation is a critical discipline. Meditation is a critical discipline and duty that weaves doctrine with practice and integrates biblical truth in our lives. It's not an emptying of our minds. That's not the meditation I'm talking about. So don't complain about me later. It's actually the filling up of our minds with the truth found in God's Word. The English Puritan Thomas Watson once said, "Without meditation, the truth of God will not stay with us. The heart is hard, and the memory slippery. And without meditation, all is lost. Meditation imprints and fastens a truth in the mind. As a hammer drives a nail to the head, so meditation drives a truth to the heart. Without meditation, the word preached may increase notion, but not affection." Let's meditate on God's Word. Take the word memorize out for now. Let's not worry about memorizing it, except my Renew group people in here. You've got to memorize your weekly scripture. Meditate on God's Word. Soak it up. Pray it. Read it. Share it. Help it to imprint and fasten on your heart. And then we're out of time. But on your handout, here's the good news. Everything I was going to share is on your handout, the examples of sharing scripture and counseling. There's so many times I've been to conferences, and in my training in biblical counseling, they would share all these things. But I really wanted to be like, okay, but how? Like, really, how do I do that? Like, practically? And so the whole conference, my goal is I try to ask the speakers, will you give practical examples of this? And so I hope I've accomplished this for you. So what I've given you is actual examples of how to share a single scripture, how to share a passage of scripture, how to share a full chapter, how to share a whole book and a letter, and how to share a Bible narrative. So all different ways. Isn't that awesome? And that's all yours. Take it, use exactly how I've written it, reword it, however you want to do it, but share the Word of God with the people that you're counseling. Thank you so much for letting me share this with you today.